on deck. Now come on.
This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food.
Get ready, ready, everybody want a chocolate.
Come on!
This is Issues and Ideas, and I had a great idea. Everyone loves chocolate. So I thought I would explore the world of chocolate, but we know a lot about it. It's not just those big, huge manufacturers you find at the checkout stand in the grocery store and in the vending machines. The range of quality of chocolate has gone from your childhood favorite to amazing and everything in between. So what could I do that made chocolate a little bit more interesting? My idea was to cook with it. Not a cake, not even chicken mole, but something different and unique. So I set out on a journey to find out what flavors were being used with chocolate so that I could prepare dinner using chocolate in a creative way and in a big way. That velvety cream addictive food is actually quite difficult to get from its original form in the tropical forest and into our mouths. So I sought out a first-hand look into the chocolate-making world, starting with a short tutorial about cacao from Maya Shuprutin of Chocolate Maya in Santa Barbara.
These are the pods right here. So they crack the pod open, and inside the pod you've got this white flesh that surrounds the seeds. They take all this. They ferment that for about a week. It's a very important process. And they have to kill the germ inside the seed. But when you open a pod like this, this beautiful white fruit, and you suck on it, it's so good. It's citrusy, it has different flavors from different countries. And after the fermentation is done, they're gonna dry the beans. They dry them on the street, or they have, you know, special concrete platform. They have giant wood drawers. They also dry artificially. And they do that also for about a week. You know, they put them out during the day in the sun and then put them back in at night. In Bolivia, they were drying the beans on slate, which I've never seen that before. And that stone gets so hot.
Can it burn the chocolate?
Well, that's a good question. I need to talk to some experts and ask, because it is very hot, yeah, and it's black, so it really soaks the sun.
But you can't take that fermented chocolate and just pop it into your mouth. There is still a long way to go until we get to that lovely bar of chocolate we take off the shelf or the beautiful handcrafted truffle in the glass case. Tom Newhouse of Mama Ganache in San Luis Obispo showed me his mélanger.
Okay, so all of these are, as I said, are nibs, so that makes them a lot easier to process. So what I do is I put them in a bowl and I microwave them to get them hot, and then I run them through a Robocoop to break it down so that my mélangeur doesn't have to work so hard.
Wow, this is the world's smallest mélangeur.
So the human palate is capable of detecting particles down to 12 microns, so if you want smooth chocolate, you will reduce the size to 12 microns. And the nice thing about a mélangeur is that it will conch the chocolate at the same time as refining it. So refining is the process of reducing the particle size, and conching is the process of wetting the particles. That is, reducing the surface tension between the particles and the fat. And that also contributes to smoothness and also develops the flavor.
That chocolate processing in the mélanger is really important. Samir Amin, Associate Professor of Food Science and Nutrition from Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, clarified that for me.
Within the processing of the beans, there is a conching process. And what this does is it takes the particles of chocolate and fat, and instead of having very sharp edges to it, what it does is it actually goes through and kind of rounds that out. So that's what helps give higher-end chocolate kind of that creamier mouthfeel. The other thing is higher-end chocolates tend to usually have a higher percentage of chocolate solids in it. Usually it's just cocoa butter. Lower-end chocolates, they will put in other types of fat in place of cocoa butter to help give that creamier mouthfeel. And also it's usually cheaper than cocoa butter.
Wait. We still have one more step before we can start making that lovely confection.
The other thing with chocolate is, especially if you're making something like a chocolate bar, is you need to do what's called tempering. Tempering is a process where you take the cocoa butter that's in chocolate and you rearrange the fat crystals in that cocoa butter on a molecular level so that they all are in a similar pattern. That's what gives a really nice chocolate bar that shiny color and that snap when you break into it. Untempered chocolate would look kind of dull. Also, it won't snap, it'll just kind of break.
So after all of that, we are now ready to make the chocolate confections.
I want the world. I want the whole world. I want to lock it all up in my pocket. It's my bar of chocolate. Give it to me now.
Fine, but I wanted to understand the subtle flavors that the chocolate itself has so I could consider how to pair the flavors in my fridge and my cupboard with chocolate. Maya had some funky flavor combinations going on in her shop, so I listened and learned.
Chocolate is like wine. You know, one year my Peruvian is gonna taste a certain way and the next year it's gonna be a little bit different. But I love that.
And you like the diversity.
I love it because I taste it and then it makes me look for what fruits or herbs I'm gonna put with that particular chocolate. You know, like Madagascar is more of a citrusy taste. So I look for the honey that's gonna match and to bring the flavor out of the chocolate. The secret, I think, with a good chocolate is a confection, so you bite in it and you taste the chocolate right away. And then you're gonna get whatever ingredient is in it, like the sage or the fresh mint or the lemongrass. For example, I just went honey tasting in Boston and I brought back, I've got like 4 different honeys and I matched the honey with, let's say, a Madagascar chocolate or a Honduran chocolate. I really try to match the taste of the ingredient with the type of chocolate I have. And you know, you walk at the farmer's market and you smell and you see and boom, you get ideas.
And of course, I got to try some special chocolates.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what this chocolate is again.
So this one is fresh ginger and lemongrass, and it's enrobed in a Madagascar chocolate. And then that little drop on top is caramel.
Do I eat it in one bite or do I have to take a little nibble?
Myself, I put the whole thing in my mouth. And that's what I think you should do.
Here we go. I can taste every individual flavor. The ginger's coming back out through my nose, not like in a Chinese mustard way, but in the olfactory senses being stimulated. I can taste the lemongrass and that nice little crunch from the caramel that you said is slightly burned. Mm. It's amazing. So this is not the type of experience I get from commercial chocolate. Being able to create that experience from putting together these ingredients, do you consider yourself a chemist?
Not at all. I'm more an instinctive person. I follow my nose, my senses, that's all.
Do you consider yourself an artist?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
I then went to Samir, who helped me take it from the chocolate confection to pairing chocolate with unlikely everyday foods.
One thing that's always been kind of intriguing is combining ingredients that don't seem to go together. This started with chocolate a while ago with using chili and chocolate. The spiciness and the chocolate go well together. Maybe looking at producing like a chocolate truffle that has health benefits, maybe adding in something like probiotics into them. Bacon and chocolate go well together. It's something about that smokiness, the saltiness of the bacon. Also, if it's cooked correctly, you've got that crunch. So all that kind of goes together with the chocolate. And the other thing that goes well is actually potato chips. Same thing, got that crunch in the potato chip and a little bit of the salt.
Great. That's the sort of ideas I'm looking for. He mentioned both chili and bacon, which I've tried with chocolate and I like. That's a start. I also like wine, and I wanted to know if there was any culinary mileage to be had there. So I headed up to Paso Robles to meet Zina Miakankova, the curator of the wine pairings with both chocolate and cheese at Le Vignier Winery. She told me even more about matching flavors, which at this point was getting much more complex and more intriguing.
So the key to pairing wines with chocolates is matching the cocoa percentages with your wines. So the lighter the cocoa percentage, the lighter the wine. For example, I would never do a white chocolate with a big red. I would do that with our sparkling wine. And I would do, you know, more milk chocolates with whites. And then the darker the chocolate, the darker the wine. And then when you get into the really, really extra dark stuff, we would put that with a dessert wine. And the idea being that the bitterness of the dark chocolate would be balanced by the sweetness of the port. Nowadays, there's all kinds of, for lack of better terminology, stuff in your chocolate. So there's, you know, Rainier Cherry chocolates from Seattle Chocolate, goes great with our cab. Or you can get like orange peel chocolate that goes great with our muscat. So there's also, now not only are you playing with cocoa percentages and the type of chocolate, but you're playing with these other flavors that have been added into the chocolates. One of the things that we've done here is single origin chocolate bar tastings, because you can actually taste the difference in the cacao, like depending on where they were growing the cocoa beans. Like a Madagascar chocolate has kind of like a red currant flavor, and we did that with our Rhone blend, because our Rhone blend also has a bit of a cassis flavor as well.
So the lighter the cocoa percentage, the lighter the wine. That should work with food combinations when I'm cooking. But let me find out if Zena actually knows what she's talking about by engaging in a very special tasting.
I'm sitting here in front of 5 big chunks of chocolate, and I'm also surrounded by 5 bottles of beautiful looking wine.
First up, we have our Chiarabella sparkling wine, and that is 100% French Colombar. That is paired with the orange peel and dark chocolate. So the sparkling wine is considered a demi-sec, so it's a little bit sweet. So we have it with the dark chocolate to kind of balance out the sweetness of the sparkling. So once you have it with the orange peel, it'll taste a little bit drier than it does. So you want to do sip of the wine, piece of the chocolate, sip of the wine. And then the orange will kind of play off the nice flavors from the colombard as well.
Great.
And then a bite of the chocolate.
Okay, this one?
Uh-huh.
Nice snap on there. Do I have to swallow the chocolate first, or can I...
You can keep it in your mouth and experience it that way.
There's the orange peel. You're right. It goes a lot drier when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice. It's beautiful chocolate, beautiful wine.
Thank you.
This was not your typical pedestrian pairing where someone says, hey, let's have this dark chocolate with this Zin. Zena had done her job well, so well that I was very eager to get to the next 4 tastings.
So the next one is our Cure di Lavigna Super Tuscan blend. This is just straight, pure, bittersweet chocolate. It would be considered dark.
Hey, let me taste the wine. Ooh, yummy, I like that. So here's the chocolate, and it's 61%.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a warm December evening in front of the fire kind of pairing.
Yeah, it brings out like a little bit of cloviness out of the background of the wine.
I can see myself in front of the fireplace. Not quite Christmas, but it's dark outside. That 3 feet of snow we get here on the Central Coast. There was some, in the back of my mouth, there was this kind of burst of, it was sugar, but it wasn't sugar. It was like this fruity sweetness, but it wasn't from the wine, it was from the chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So that must have been one of the notes that is a characteristic of the single
of the
origin.
Cocoa bean. Uh-huh. Wow. Absolutely.
And I did 3 more of those pairings. It was all in the name of research. It helped me get closer to my goal of creating a new dish for myself that was made with chocolate. My catalog of flavor pairing notes was expanding. Then that expansion reached just around the corner from my house, where Skylar Kiesling Oatman from Central Coast Brewing hosted a beer and chocolate tasting. I went to the tasting, but I also caught up with him afterward.
The IPA pairing that we did with the white chocolate was one of my favorite ones, with the spicy salt on top. The pairing that I really liked with our pale ale, we did a milk chocolate with salted pecans and almonds, and then we topped it with fennel pollen. But that kind of gives you a broad idea of things you can go and do when you're, you know, in the chocolate store, thinking not necessarily about dark chocolate, milk chocolate, but especially like trying different truffles out there. So if you're doing something spicy, you know, spicy and bitterness, you know, they kind of play off each other and amplify each other as well.
There's that spiciness again. Skylar is pretty smart, but surely he didn't craft that fantastic chocolate and beer pairing on his own.
When I kind of knew in my head that, yes, I definitely want to do this, and what about chocolate and beer, I ran into Nick Otto. The guy sitting across the bar from me noticed I had my Central Coast Brewing shirt on and said, hey, I make chocolates. Have you ever thought about doing chocolate and beer tastings before? I was like, you know what? I've absolutely thought of that, but I've never done it. What can you bring to the table? And from there, we hit it off. He's a great guy and really has a great ideas, great palate.
Ah, there it is. In the haystack of the chocolate industry, Skyler pointed me to the one needle who wasn't hiding his light under a bushel when it comes to playing around with chocolate and food. So I hunted down Nick Otto, kitchen manager at Vic's Cafe in Paso Robles, to help me investigate the culinary uses of chocolate, and not just for dessert.
So if you have the sweet on the chocolate, even if it's a bittersweet chocolate, it sometimes goes really well with something spicy. For instance, we did a bacon that was dipped in chocolate, a dark chocolate, and it had a ghost chili sprinkled salt on top, just a smidge. And inside of that chocolate, I had house-smoked chipotle. Now this chipotle was local chilies that I used, and I smoked them, I dried them, I crushed them up, and then we added just the right amount so that it wasn't overpowering, but you could still get that spice. You could even take some chocolate and shave it on top of something as a finisher and an accentuator. And it's not a main component, you know? It's like you do a little bit of nutmeg on your cauliflower puree soup, and then it's just like, wow, that's just a hint of nutmeg. But then you do the chocolate. I mean, you could do like a chocolate cheese sauce for your broccoli.
Really?
Maybe try it or look into it.
Have you done it?
I've done it. I've done cheese and chocolate, and it's weird, but it's cool. And some people they're like, nah, no thanks. I'm open to anything. There's nothing that I won't try. I think that just happens to be the reason of me staying in this business.
And then he told me about his piece de resistance, a chocolate bacon cheeseburger.
Last year, I did a competition at the loading chute called the Burgers and Brews. There were 5 burgers. None of them had chocolate, and everyone was dumbfounded that I put chocolate on a burger. But I made it work, and it tasted fantastic. I didn't win. I had a great name. It was called Cow Chocula. It was the Hearst Ranch Beef Burger. Now, the chocolate and the bacon go phenomenally together. I had little slider buns, and then I made this mustard mayo mix, and I put some New York aged cheddar on it. And to be honest, the burger was phenomenal. It should have won. I don't know why it didn't win. I think people were kind of weirded out. They were like, there's chocolate on this burger. You took a bite of it and it melted. You get this fantastic, like, almost like a mole.
But what shouldn't we cook with when incorporating chocolate?
Surely there's something that chocolate does not go with.
I would try to stay away from eggs and chocolate. You know, like the French toast and the pancakes are great, but I can't put chocolate on an over medium egg and make it taste fantastic. If you were to make a hollandaise and somehow incorporate chocolate in there, that might be doable, but I don't think I'd do it.
So there's not going to be chocolate eggs Benedict anytime soon?
Not at my place of business.
So there we go. It's time for me to get into my kitchen and try out some new things. I'm going to try the chocolate bacon cheeseburger, but I'm also going to try chocolate and eggs, and maybe even a vegetable.
Here I am putting my burger together. I'm going to try Nick's idea of chocolate-dipped bacon on a cheeseburger. It sounded more interesting than the chocolate with cauliflower, the chocolate with prawns, or any of the other chocolate ideas, and much more interesting than mole, which everyone has tasted. So I'm going to start with cooking the bacon. While the bacon's cooking, I'm going to melt the chocolate, and I'm going to use this 73% dark cacao, super dark organic, and part of the well-known chocolate from Pennsylvania. I'm going to use about 50-50 on that. Just going to melt that in the microwave and see how that does. I'm going to put the bacon in the freezer a little bit to cool it off, like Nick said. Time to fry the burger. I'm going to do it in the same pan with that bacon grease. Now for the mayonnaise and mustard mixture that Nick did. Let's see if that is any good. Some nice Dijon mustard here. I have some nice homemade bread here, the last bit of it that I cut in half. I'm going to pop it in the toaster just to toast it off just a little bit. spread it with the mayo mustard combination, adding my burger using a chocolatey fork. The cheese on next. I'm using a medium sharp cheddar. And then put on these chocolate enrobed pieces of bacon. Put on a piece of lettuce on the top bun and take a photo. Serve it with a few fried potatoes. And the best thing to do is taste it. Well, it's not bad. Actually, the chocolate is kind of in the aftertaste. I thought it would clash with the cheese. Then I thought it would clash with the mustard. But it doesn't clash at all. It gives this nice kind of warm, Christmassy feel to the burger. Thanks, Nick. I like this.
That's the burger all ready to go. What about the eggs? I'm thinking back to that mole. I don't want to just make a mole, but I liked the concept of chocolate being used as a spice. So how about something like Eggs Benedict, but not? I'm going to try to put together, let's see, Eggs Oscar de la Hoya, because they are going to pack a punch with both chocolate and chili.
Okay, so for my Eggs Oscar de la Hoya, I prepared everything in advance. I made a little corn arepa, which is a South American corn kind of English muffin thing, a little flat, dry-fried pancake. That is the base. And it's got a little Monterey Jack cheese in it because I don't want to do the chocolate and cheese sauce for the broccoli, so I'm going to put it in the arepas. Then I have some Mexican chorizo. Then I have an over-medium egg on top of that. I made this nice avocado and tomato salsa with a kick because Nick and Tom and Samir and Zina, they all said that chili and chocolate go together. And then what I'm going to do now, because Nick said it wouldn't work, my eggs Oscar de la Hoya are going to have some 73% chocolate grated on top. Okay, there's actually quite a bit of chocolate on there. It's beautiful. Gotta take a picture. And then I gotta try it. So in my bite, I gotta make sure I've got some arepa, some chorizo, some egg, some avocado salsa, and the shavings of chocolate. Mmm. You can taste everything there. It kind of, it accentuates all of the different flavors. That doesn't clash with anything. Mmm. Just like the South Americans did, like Nick said, to use the chocolate as a spice rather than the main ingredient. And it's really, 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 really nice. That one you could really taste the chocolate. There's not gonna be any left for anyone. I got a California Pale Ale from North San Luis Obispo County. Good compliment. It takes away the heat, doesn't clash with the chocolate, doesn't clash with the eggs, beer, chocolate, all of this stuff goes together. And that. My eggs Oscar de la Hoya, because I pack a punch with both chocolate and chili. I looked in the fridge for what vegetables I had. I had broccoli, but I didn't want to do the cheese and chocolate sauce for broccoli. But I took Nick's idea of something dairy that we would normally put on a vegetable, and then the chocolate. So I took some asparagus, and I blanched the asparagus in some salt water. I took some half and half, and I heated it up until it was nice and piping hot, but not boiling. And now I'm gonna sprinkle some dark chocolate cocoa nibs. Cocoa nibs enrobed in 66% dark chocolate. So we've got that pure bean. Then we've got some bittersweet chocolate to go with it, which should melt nicely onto the asparagus. Now I'm gonna taste that. I'm gonna start with the asparagus tips. I usually end with the tips because they're the best. Plenty of chocolate, plenty of cream, plenty of asparagus. Mmm, actually, that's really good because the chocolate and asparagus kind of have some complementary flavors. Like, I can see that there are chocolate notes in asparagus tips because the asparagus is made more asparagus-y by the chocolate.
I'm now pretty sure that I can convincingly put a meal together that's all about chocolate, but I need a dessert. There are millions of chocolate desserts out there. How can I find one that's unique? Well, I stumbled upon the perfect unique chocolate dessert at no other place than the Avocado Festival Taste of the Grove in Morro Bay. It was an avocado chocolate mousse made by Heather Thomas from Two Cooks Catering, and her sous chef Steve Lucero told me the tantalizing tale of its creation.
The avocado actually cuts the richness of the chocolate, and it also adds to the lightness to the mousse. Then we added coconut milk, so we made it vegan friendly, and flavored it with maple syrup, and then we cut it with semi-sweet chocolate, and then on top we added some raw cacao. You're definitely going to be fooled if you're looking for avocado, because it's not there. But you definitely taste chocolate, and that's what we're going for.
I'm also here with my old roommate from when I lived in San Jose. Ginger, come on over. Come on over. What are you thinking when you see avocado chocolate mousse?
Yuck. It doesn't sound good.
Let's taste it together.
It's outstanding. I'm a chocolate fan. This is really good.
He's right. You can't taste the avocado at all.
No. Kudos.
That's dessert sorted out. I now have a complete three-course meal, an appetizer of my eggs Oscar de la Hoya, a main course of Nick's chocolate-dipped bacon cheeseburger, the Cow Chocula, with cream-braised asparagus with cocoa nibs on the side, and avocado chocolate mousse for dessert. And what about an after-dinner mint over coffee? Back to Tom Newhouse for that.
I used to dip crickets in chocolate and serve it to my students when they at the final exam. And I would put a bowl of chocolate-dipped crickets there, and then they would turn in their exam, and then they had the right to pick out a cricket. And so I decided that the class was divided into the three types of people. One person would throw the exam on the table and run. One person would grab a cricket, break off the chocolate, eat the chocolate, drop the cricket in the trash can, and the other person would eat the cricket and the chocolate. So it was a little anthropological research.
I like chocolate, but I think I'll pass on the crickets. More of that chocolate bacon cheeseburger, though. My playing with food in order to put a meal together entirely out of chocolate tempered itself together into a perfect collection, and I have the confidence to pair them with beautiful wines and beers. Any takers out there? I hope you now have an even greater appreciation for chocolate and how it can be used in a variety of different ways. For Issues and Ideas for KCBX, I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. Sweet like chocolate.